United States.
Cold cases. Stacking the deck. Can playing cards help catch criminals?
Despite facial recognition and other leapfrogs in technology, it seems cops are getting no better at cracking crime. For the past decade, the share of murders that has gone unsolved has risen. Since the pandemic, it has climbed to around 50% for the first time since the FBI started counting. With more murderers at large, investigators are getting creative. Last month, Mississippi Coast Crime Stoppers, a group that feeds anonymous tips from the public to the police, sent 2,500 decks of playing cards to inmates in seven county prisons and jails. Instead of jacks and queens, each card has the photo of a golf coaster who disappeared or was mysteriously killed. The group hopes that while prisoners pass time playing spades or gin rummy, they will come across a case they know something about and call in. The strategy reportedly worked elsewhere. Authorities in Connecticut say that over the years, decks like these have helped the state solve 20 cold cases. South Carolina claims at least 8, and Florida too. Because criminals operate in networks, the logic goes, inmates may know unidentified killers on the run. That could be true, but someone sitting in a cell may also have a lot more to gain from snitching than reward money. Crime Stoppers offers $2,500 for tips that lead to felony arrests, but that pales in comparison with the sentence reductions prosecutors frequently offer in exchange for information. Put simply, a shot at going home gives convicts a big incentive to lie. According to the Innocence Project, a non-profit organisation, inmate testimony is a leading cause of wrongful conviction. Data from the National Registry of Exonerations show that 15% of murder convictions and 14% of life sentences that have been overturned since 1989 involved tips from prisoners. Nobody ever presents a jailhouse informant as an untarnished Good Samaritan, says Ken Otterborg, a researcher at the registry. But jurors required to judge the credibility of such witnesses are often in the dark about the deals prosecutors strike with them to reduce their time. In March, Donald Amon Rayner was acquitted at a retrial after a decade in prison for a Connecticut murder. Mr. Rayner's lawyer says his conviction had hinged on the testimony of a prisoner, Jose Rivera, who claimed the two were real close friends. Mr. Rivera, who was serving 42 years for a slew of killings and gun crimes, told prosecutors that Mr. Rayner shot a rival gang member dead from the back seat of a black Acura that Mr. Rivera was driving. The timing of his testimony was suspect. The murder was committed in 2007. Speaking to a grand jury in 2009, Mr. Rivera did not mention the shooting. He came forward only once he was arrested for murder 2 years later. At the time, he told prosecutors he was cooperating because he knew he was hit, meaning done for. They promised him a sentence reduction in cases where he was already convicted and concessions about how he might serve sentences if convicted in other ones. The result would be substantially less prison time. As soon as he got caught for murder, his narrative changed. So how can you vet the truth, asks Mr. Rayner. My life was on the line based on a person who couldn't pass a background check to work at McDonald's. Mr. Rivera implicated several others while inside. What was it that apparently jogged his memory in multiple cases? A set of cold case playing cards.